Sunday morning of 2018, and again, I just told you all before, that just blows my mind to think about that we're already in 2018. You know, I'm still of that mindset that when somebody in most home folks here at the church, you know, I'm sort of vehicle driven, and I think about my Harley. It's a 2006. And to me, 2006 sounds pretty new. But I got thinking the other day, man, that thing's 12 years old. You know, it's ready for a bar mitzvah. You know, the time is passing quickly in front of us. And isn't it hard to believe that it is already, almost 20 years into this new century that it seems like that we just began yesterday? But, some of y'all are getting old. I want you to know that. Some of you all are getting old. Now, I'm probably not, am not, but some of you all are. I want, if you guys go ahead and bring up my PowerPoint for today. Sarah and I had a little getaway the next 4 or 5 days after Christmas last week. We went to Myrtle Beach for a few days. We went down there for the purpose of relaxing and just sort of renewing ourselves and warming up some. We relaxed and we renewed ourselves. There wasn't any getting warmed up, though. It was cold down there as it was here. But as we, since the weather was cold, we spent a lot of time just kicking back and reading and relaxing. And I don't know, it wasn't a planned thing. I don't know how we came across it, but somehow we ended up watching for like 3 days straight watching cowboy flicks. You know, I'm talking about some good ones like Support Your Local Sheriff. Some of y'all may remember that, or if you're not old enough to remember it, I think it's still available in Redbox. And the other one, it was support something else, and it was sort of along the same lines. It was a sequel movie. And then we watched some of the old black and white cowboy stuff like Laramie and some of those. And of course, I was just a real tiny baby when those came out. You know, you all realize that. But we watched all these part of a cowboy movie, there always has to be a desert in the cowboy movie, and there always has to be Indians, okay? And we're not going to talk about, I'm not going to preach to you about Indians this morning, but I do want to talk to you about the desert. And sometimes, you know, when we think about the desert, our minds may go back to some cowboy movie or maybe some war movie, and we think about the desert as being a very hot place. Well, a desert doesn't necessarily have to be a hot place, but there's one thing about a desert that does exist. It's a very dry and a very barren place. But a desert can actually be cold. There are actually Arctic deserts. But the desert is a very dry, a very barren place, a very desolate place. But you know what? I've never traveled too far out west, and when I have, I've flown. You know, I've been to Dallas, and that's as far west in this country as I've been. But in flying other portions to other portions of the world, I've actually flown over desert. And while we were in Israel, we actually had the opportunity to travel through the desert, which pretty much that's what most of that region is anyway. And it's barren, it's desolate, man. There's nothing. And you know, and we would see in Israel, especially as we begin to go down into southern Israel, we would see the Bedouins, and we would see how they would be out in desert with their flocks. I don't know why they were there. There was nothing. There was nothing for their flocks to eat or anything, but they would yet be out in the desert places, and they lived there and they dwelt there, and I'm sure that it was probably very unpleasant at times. And you know what? You and I, every one of us in this room, everyone watching by Facebook Live, every one of us, you listening by radio or later in the podcast in the week, you know, every one of us in this room have experienced desert places in our life. We've experienced places that have been dry. We've experienced places that have been barren. We have experienced those places in our life, those seasons in our life when we felt all alone. And If you haven't already, you will, okay? And maybe you're not in that desert place right now, but I can assure you this, don't mean to be a naysayer, so to speak, but the reality of it is desert places come. Desert seasons come in our life, and we're going to face them. I want us to, this morning, as we focus on coping with the desert, I want you to go to Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to listen to what Paul has to say. And I've underscored in the overhead, I've underscored some specific portions of this scripture. But Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You know, sometimes we feel like that we're the only person going through what we're going through. But that's not really true. Now, you know, what's most important to me is what I'm going through, granted. And I have to be careful, and I have to be very guarded as a pastor, and you really probably should too, even as a follower of Christ. Sometimes, you know, you ever run across one of those occasions where somebody tells you, you know, something like, you know, like if Alvin would come to me, and Alvin would come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really having this difficult time in my life right now. I'm really going through a desert place. All of my hair is coming out. You know, and my way of consoling Alvin was like, man, I'm right with you, Alvin. I know what you feel like, brother. Mine's coming out too. But the fact that my hair is coming out doesn't make Alvin really feel any better about his. Right? And sometimes our way of consoling someone that has gone through a desert or is in a desert is letting them know that we're in a desert too. And I guess there is some comfort in that, in a manner of speaking. But that doesn't really fix anything. But the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will fix things for us in our life. Even when we're in the desert place, we can find consolence. We can find comfort. So no temptation, Paul says, is overtaking you, except what is common to mankind. But he says this, he said, and God is faithful. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But then he uses this word, it's a conjunction he uses. He says, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Notice he says you'll find a way out, but that way out is not given in the manner of an escape. But he says you will be given a way out, or you will be given the means of overcoming whatever you're going through in a way so that you can be able to endure it. So we find ourselves in desert places, and we find ourselves going through desert seasons of our life, and they're going to happen. God tells us, Paul tells us here, that they're going to occur, but he says that they're not going to overcome us, even though sometimes we may think so. He reassures us they are not going to overcome us simply for one reason, and that's because God is faithful. He is faithful. And He will make a way for us to endure that desert place, if you would, today that we're illustrating, that desert place or whatever that trial of life is that you're going through. God is going to make sure that you and I endure those places. So, the desert. The desert's a dry. It's a barren place. It's a lifeless place. It's a place of unpleasant things and circumstances. Very few people have the goal and ambition in life to go and build them a home in the middle of the desert. Because it would be a very hard, a very uncomfortable, a very difficult place to live. Desert actually speaks death to you and I in many ways, and especially if you're one like me that likes cowboy movies. Because in the desert place is where people got stranded and they died. They ran out of water, their canteen. They begin to see mirages, and they begin to hallucinate, and they eventually died in the desert. And we all have these places. We've all been through these places. But God says, through Paul's words, he said, but I will make a way that you can endure the desert. I thought about desert travel, which was very common and very typical to Jesus, and very common and very well known among the disciples of old, as we read about in Scripture. And they had ways of coping. They had ways of dealing with the desert. Their way of dealing with desert conditions was very simply a camel. And you and I, though, that none of us probably own a camel. Maybe you've got a dog. Maybe you've got a cat. Maybe you have a pet squirrel. Maybe you have a pet hamster. You might even have a pet snake. But probably very few of you in this room have a pet camel. But God made a way for the people that live in the desert. I actually had the opportunity to ride on a camel once or twice. And let me tell you what. They're not the most comfortable animal to ride. They don't smell the best in the world. And they actually are quite raunchy in some ways, unless they've had a real good bath. And most camels don't take bath on a regular basis. But the reality of it is, if you're in a desert place, a camel would be a very close friend to you. He would be a great friend to you. But this morning I want to concentrate on how in our desert places, in coping with the desert, how that we can serve like a camel. The camel, the enduring creature of the desert, has some great characteristics that I think we can learn from this morning. The number one thing that I want to share with you is that, or the first thing is, the camel is an animal of submission. The camel is an animal of submission. Now listen very carefully to me this morning, because I want you to understand this. As you look at pictures and you do research, you will find that camels that are used in commercial travel, commercial trade, or whatever terminology you want to put on it, you will find that camels are led. Even if a camel is being ridden, it is still led. It is still operated by reins. Much like a horse. A camel is led. In other words, the camel is not driven, but the camel is led. And for those of us that are in desert places or going through desert places or when we get to that desert place, we have to realize that we too have to be led. We too have to be submissive to the Spirit of the Lord. We too have to allow God to lead us and to guide us and direct us in all things. Now, the camel begins his life as a wild, untamed, he's undomesticated. But what happens is the camel, like so many other creatures or animals that we have in the world, the camel can be trained. And the camel can be taught. You know, there's a video on YouTube right now that's sort of gone viral. Have any of you all seen it? It's the dog that has the little sled, and the dog drags the sled to the top of the hill. I think it's a border collie maybe, or a blue heeler. The dog drags his sled to the top of the hill, then jumps in his sled, and he rides all the way down the hill. And then when he gets to the bottom of the hill, he grabs his little sled, and he drags it all the way back up the hill, and he does it over again. Let me tell you, that just didn't happen. That happened because that dog was trained. That dog, and I'm not saying that you're dogs or I'm dogs, even though, you know, Jesus one time, you know, was directed about being dogs. But the reality of it is that animal, that dog in that video that's very popular right now, had to become submissive to a trainer or a leader, if you would. When we are in the desert places of our life, when we are in the difficult places of our life, we need to realize, hopefully we do realize, the value or the validity of submission. Because we need, when more than any time other, you know, and we talk about things, we talk about, oh, when we're going into ministry, I want to be led of the Spirit. We talk about when we're making decisions in our life. Maybe it's to buy that new home. Maybe it's to buy that new car. Maybe it's to get married. And we talk about, oh, I want to be led of the Spirit. But do you realize that, when we're in the desert places, the driest places of our experience, the driest places of our life, we need submission then as well. That's when we really need to be led of the Spirit. Most of the time, the only thing that's on our mind is looking for a way of escape. But I'm telling you this morning, I think that the Word of God calls us to be submissive, even in the desert place, even in the difficult times. We are called to be submissive to the will of God. Listen, the camel becomes domesticated of sorts, and what happens is, as that camel becomes domesticated, it is willing to be led by its master. And as it's led by the master will lead the camel and take it into all of the things that it needs to do and it needs to know to be able to go through the desert spot. Listen, the camel has great endurance, but the camel does not have the intelligence of its master. Are you with me? And you and I, in the desert places of our life, hello? In the desert places of our life, we need the intelligence of our master. The second thing that we realize about this creature, the camel is a dependent creature. It's dependent upon that master. It's dependent upon the circumstance. A camel, you know, I don't have my phone in my pocket, I don't think. I left it in the office. But you know what? Sister Sarah and I, we live by an eye calendar. Every single day, my eye calendar, just about any given day, something pops up and tells me, here's what you need to do today, here's where you need to go, here's what's going on today. Even on the days that something doesn't pop up and tell me what I need to be doing today, something's popping up on it and it's telling me, here's what you got to do tomorrow. It's called planning, or it's a planner, if you would. But a camel doesn't have the ability to plan. You know what? There are a lot of things in our life that we need to plan for. Hopefully you're planning for retirement. Hopefully you're planning to die someday. Hopefully you're planning on what you're going to do with your year. There's so much that we can plan on. But do you realize there's a lot of things in our life that we really can't plan on? And there's a lot of things in our lives that we really can't prepare for. There's a lot of things in our life that will just happen, and Paul's actually talking about such things as like that. There's things like that that's going to come our way that we really can't stop and we really can't fix when they come. But the truth of the matter is, we can cast our dependence upon God, and that doesn't mean that we don't prepare. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. But the reality of it is, we prepare, we do the best we can to prepare, but then things still happen in our lives. And as they happen in our lives, we cast our dependency upon God. And for the things that I can't do, God, for the things that are without out my power and out my strength and outside of the realm of what I can do in my own ability, God, I've got to have you. I need you. That desert place when you have no way of producing water to drink. In that desert place when you have no way of making food appear. In that desert place when everything is wrong and everything's so far removed and everything is desolate, then in that desert place, you say and you cry out to God, God, I need you. This is beyond my control. It's beyond what I can do. It's beyond my reach. It's beyond my touch. But I know that you can make a way, because you are the way. You are the way. And we find ourselves being dependent. Every day that camel gets up, it's dependent. It don't know the road ahead. It don't know what's going to be placed on its back, but it's dependent. It has that relationship of submission and a relationship of dependency. It depends on the master to guide it. And even when camels we call it a caravan. When camels are traveling in a caravan, did you realize that they're typically a caravan of camels? There can only be one leader. Sometimes there's more, but it's not untypical for there to be one leader and many camels. Did you realize that? And one leader can take a harness and a rope on the front of that camel. All the other camels are tied together, nose to tail, so to speak. And that one leader, that faithful leader, leads that caravan of camels on a journey that he has desired and he has for them to go on. And I thought about the church when I thought about that, how that in the church that, just look at that person next to you and say, you're a pretty good looking camel. But we as camels, we as the laborers, we as the beast of burdens, we are linked together, we're tied together, and there's one master that's at the helm or at the front of the caravan, and there's one master that will lead us through the desert and guide us through the desert, and it doesn't matter if you're the first camel, if you're midway in the caravan, or if you're the end camel. That really doesn't matter. It's not about that at all, but the truth of the matter is, or the fact of the matter is, that we're all on a journey and we're all linked together. And there is one master as we're submissive to him and as we become dependent upon him that will lead us and take us through even the driest of seasons and under the driest of times because the master is in control. You see, the provision is made for the camels by the master as well. Because the provision, it's the caretaker. It's the man that leads the camels that has the responsibility to make sure those camels are watered and those camels are fed. Understand, God loves us so much and He gave us the example in the Word of God. And there's been songs written about it. We've talked about it. You've shared stories about it. And even if you don't know where to find it in the Bible, you've heard about it and you know it's there. That consider the lilies of the field and consider the sparrows of the air. The lilies don't toil or spin. And consider the sparrows. And God feeds them and God takes care of them. And He nurtures them and He ministers to them even though they really don't have an understanding like we do. But God loves them so much and He cares for them so much that He cares for them. And the Bible speaks of that and in the regards to how much more does God care about us than He does the flowers of the field or the little sparrows in the air. And how much more provision does He make for us when He makes provision for everything else? How much more? Because we are His resemblance. We are His image. How much more does God care about us? How much more does He give to us? How much more does He provide for us even when we're in the desert place? Because we, like a camel, the camel actually is divinely created. Did you realize that? God created all the beasts of the field. He created everything. He just let Adam name it. And I don't know why Adam named camel a camel. Maybe he had a reason. I don't know. But just like the camel, you and I are divinely created, but we're created, of course, a little bit more integral and a little bit more, in a little bit more critical design than the camel is. But yeah, the camel is very unique in itself because we know the stories and we think about that the camel is equipped where it can live a long time without food and it can live a long time without water and it can endure so much. And somehow I believe that when God designed this animal of the desert, that this animal that would live in the dry places, somehow when God created this animal, God created everything by design. And somehow when God created us, somehow when God made us specifically like design. We talked about this in life group this morning. No two of us in here are alike. No two of us in here are alike. Now, I realize that probably everybody in here would like to be as handsome as old Charlie back there. But unfortunately, all of us are not. Just a few of us are. You'll get that. That's a time thing. It'll settle in. But yet, God created us all different, but we're all divinely created. And there's nothing in your life that you have faced, there's nothing in your life that you will face that God hasn't designed you and equipped you that you will go through, that you will not be able to endure, and you will not be able to go through. I said it a few weeks ago, I'll say it again this morning, and if I'm here 10 years from now, you'll probably hear me say it again 10 years from now. There is not a thing in our lives, in any of our lives, there is not one single thing that we have not made it through. There's not one single thing in our life that has happened that we have not endured. And we think sometimes that we're not going to. We don't see ourselves making it, but yet God has made a way and He's equipped us to endure. This camel's divinely created. I want to share some things. You realize that the eye of the camel? The eye of the camel is designed, the camel has multiple eyelids. The camel has, listen, some of you women would just love to have eyelashes like a camel. I know you. You go to Belk's and spend money with Elaine just trying to get eyelashes. You all buy a pair of funny looking pliers, and we had a friend of ours, and you would have to know her to appreciate it. But she said after driving many years, she figured out that you could adjust that makeup mirror and you could actually see what was behind you as you were driving down the road in the car. And she would drive down the road with her makeup mirror up here adjusted. Some of y'all get that in a little bit. And she's got those funny looking pliers, and she's curling her eyelashes as she is driving down the road. And you just have to know her to appreciate it. But everything about the eye of the camel is designed to endure the severity of the sandstorms of the desert. In fact, the camel can close its eye and still see. Doesn't make sense to us, but because of the way the camel's eyes design. You understand that God has made those kind of provisions in our lives. Even when we're blinded, even when we can't see because of the storm of life in the desert that we're in, God, if we will seek His face, if we will pursue Him, if we will chase after Him, even in the midst of the worst storm of our life, when the sand is blowing beyond compare, the snow is blowing beyond compare, everything is bad in our life, the storm is raging, but there's not one drop of water falling. Even amidst all of that, do you realize that we can still have our vision? We can't afford to lose our vision in the midst of the storm. We can't afford to lose it. And God has made a way that we can maintain our vision. Listen, when that camel is traveling, his head is positioned and the camel's eyes are always looking upward. You may not have known that. I thought it surprising. And understand this. When we are traveling, if we could just focus on keeping our eyes looking upward, no matter how bad the desert is, no matter how bad the storm is, God, I'm going to keep looking upward to You. I'm going to continue to focus on You, and I'm going to concentrate on You. No matter what happens around me, no matter what's going on, I'm going to maintain my focus on You. And when we do that, we won't recognize as much of what's going on around us. Because, you see, that is what happens. The camel obtains a better view. Even when a camel glances down or to the side, it is scientifically, it's proven that they don't last long. It's nothing more than a glance. And does not the Scripture tell us not to look to the left, not to look to the right? But to keep our focus on who God is, are not we encouraged by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to look to Me? How many times have we heard words of prophecy? How many times have we heard messages and interpretations of look to Me? Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But look unto Me, thus saith the Lord. How many times have we heard that in our presence? Yet oftentimes when we find ourselves in desert places, we tend to start hanging our head down. And when we hang our head down, we see nothing but the dry and parched ground that is beneath us. But if we will look up and we will allow our eyes to be protected by the work of the Holy Spirit, and we will see, I think about Stephen, as Stephen was dragged outside of the city, and Paul gives the command to that, or Saul as he was at that time, to have Stephen commanded. Stephen opened his eyes, and as he opened his eyes and looked up, he saw his Savior, not sitting, but standing at the right hand of God. The only place in Scripture you will see the Son in a standing position in the presence of the Father. And the Son stands to His attention as Stephen is about to be stoned to death. But Stephen looks up, and I personally, in my mind, I don't believe Stephen felt one pain. He didn't feel one gash that came into his body. He didn't feel one bone that was broken because of the stones. being hurled against his body. But Stephen looked up and he had his eyes on the Son. He had his eyes on Jesus Christ. And if we could get our eyes on Jesus Christ in the difficult situations of our life, it will make going through the desert place so much more tolerable and easy, if you would. I wish y'all would help me just a little bit this morning. Camel has thick skin. You know, I was talking the last few days, Sarah, and I've been talking this, you know, the weather conditions that we've had the last several days, sub-zero temperatures and blowing snow, and of course the East Coast got pounded. I told Sarah, I guess it was yesterday, or maybe this morning, I said, you know what, we've got soft. Man, I appreciate my wife. I appreciate my wife. She let me drive her car all weekend until today. She says it's not her car, it's our car. And she said she don't let me drive it, although she is the only one that has a key to it. So if she didn't let me borrow her car, she at least let me borrow her key. Her car's got heated seats. Now, I have had cars that had heated steering wheels. But I can tolerate cold hands, but I don't like well, I better not go there. I like those heated seats. Last few days, we went to Fishersville the other day to see her aunt. We went to Roanoke yesterday to be with Stephanie and check on Marissa. And it was nice. You know, I don't know why we didn't drive it today, in fact, you know, because it was today's as cold as the other days. But I driving down the road with those heated seats, you know, and heat down here and up here, heat over here, down on your feet. You just turn knobs and you can make do whatever you want to. And I told Sarah, I said, you know, we got soft. I can remember the day when we rode around in those, you know, in old farm trucks we had. Most of them were late 40s and early 50s, old Chevrolet trucks. And they just had a little box that sat under the heat, under the dash. And you had one button you pulled out and you either had hot air or you had no air. And the hot air you had wasn't real hot. But we survived. We didn't die. And we got out every single day. And the reality of it is, I look and I see us sometimes, we've got soft, and we're very soft people. But you know what? I think to be people of God, I think the people of God have got to become thick-skinned people. I don't have them quite like I used to. Chase can relate to this probably very well, maybe some of the rest of you. You know, when you play an instrument, especially the guitar, you get calluses on the end of your hand, on the ends of your fingers. And a callus is nothing more than dead skin. I used to love to go get my blood drawn. And they'd say, which hand do you want to use? I'd say, oh, use my left hand. I loved doing it back when I played a whole lot years ago, because they would take that little thing. I'd even had them take a razor blade and try to cut the end of my finger to draw blood, but it'd be so callous, nothing would come out. I just did it for meanness. Just did it for meanness. But you know, yeah, I don't want our hearts to be calloused, but what I am saying, but I do think we've got to have some thick skin about us as believers. You know, we've never known persecution before. You know, we think because somebody tells us we can't pray in school, we've done been persecuted. I'd say not. We think because somebody says you can't do the Bible in school program down the road here at the school anymore, we've suddenly been persecuted. I think not. Do you realize there's more martyrs for Christ in the world right now than there's ever been at any time before? In various parts of the world, especially as Islam increases, do you realize there are more people being martyred for Christ now than ever before? We don't know what persecution is, but I do know this. If we're going to walk through desert places, and if we're going to be sons and daughters, young men and young women, and old men and old women of God, if we're going to be people of God, we need to be people like camels, and we need to have thick skin. We need to have tough skin. We need to be tough. When somebody spits in our face, I know this is a true account of a young man that wanted to go on a missions trip, and he went on a missions trip, and his first missions trip was into Nairobi, Kenya. And as he went into Nairobi, Kenya, he's in the safety of the compound where, brother and sister List used to live on. And as he was going to walk around, he and some of the other group that he was in was going to walk around the corner and go to a little store. They called them a duka. A little booth where they sold, you know, whatever, produce or whatever. And as he walks around, this basically not even going a block, first thing that happens, he walks up and some Kenyan walks up to him and does a and spits right in his face. And I don't know what I would have done, and that didn't happen to me. I don't know what I would have done, but I do know why he did. He wasn't ready. And he went back, as much as he thought he was ready, he wasn't ready, and he went back, and within 48 hours, he was back in the United States. Because he wasn't ready as he thought he was. His skin wasn't tough. He thought, as being a Christian, that's just going to be easy. I'm going to go preach to people. I'm going to go to pray with people. I'm going to go reach people, and I'm going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he didn't count on getting a honker spit in his face within the first 30 minutes. Of being on the ground, simply because he was a Christian. You see, we got to have thick skin if we're going to be believers. We got to have thick skin if we're going to walk through the desert place. And I believe God gives us that. I believe He equips us with that. And we got to realize that God has equipped us for longevity. You know, sometimes we think it has to. Do it and get it over with. Microwave. We're used to it. And you know, I always heard those stories that the humps of the camel's backs were full of water, but that's not really true. It actually is fat that is stored. I've been sort of working on my own hump here lately. I've done so well with it that I was planning on wearing corduroys this morning, but I couldn't find any that would come around the hump. But the truth of the matter is, the camel is equipped for longevity. There is fat and in its intestines and in its digestive system and what have you. The camel has a unique ability that God has given it to absorb moisture, if you would, where it can go long periods of time without eating or drinking. But you know, the camel probably doesn't really think a whole lot about that. It's just second nature to the camel. Maybe even first nature to the camel. But you know what? Have you ever thought about that sometimes we panic and we grow into a panic mode? What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to survive this? Do you realize this? What Paul said in this scripture that he wrote in 1 Corinthians that we read from this morning. He says, God's not going to put on any of us any temptation more than we can bear. You realize what God is saying there? Just like the camel has everything it needs to survive its desert season. You realize what God is saying to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul is this, that God has made a way already for everything that you're going to go through and that I'm going to go through in life, everything that we will go through. God has already made provision that we will endure. Without a second thought, without a second breath. So why do we grow frantic sometimes? Why do we pull our hair out? Why do we grow nervous? Why do we panic? I've been through them myself, so I understand them and I know. But why do we have panic attacks? Why do we have anxiety that overwhelms us and overcomes us? Because when we understand that God has equipped us for longevity, God has equipped us to endure. He has equipped us for everything that we need. He has equipped us for everything that we're going to go through. There is nothing. He has made us full of longevity. Even sometimes, though, we don't realize it. And then He's given us the ability. The camel has the ability of carrying 2/3 of its body weight. That's pretty amazing. In this old country lingo, that's pretty stout. That's pretty stout. He can carry 2/3 of his body weight, because on average, an average camel weighs around 1,400 pounds. And it can carry it and not miss a beat. It can carry it, it can, and we're going to talk about it kneeling down here in a minute, but the camel can lay down with the burden on its back, it can stand up with the burden on its back, it can stand for long periods of time with the burden on its back, it can walk for long periods of time. The camel is a burden bearer, and it can carry up to 2/3 of its weight. You know, I don't even know that God expects us to even carry 2/3 of our weight. It's probably unreal if in the spiritual we had a way of measuring how much of the burden that the Holy Spirit carries for us. Probably more than we realize. We're probably, in comparison, we're probably weaklings. But yet, the Holy Spirit bears the burden for us. The Holy Spirit bears our load for us. So whenever we're going through stuff, whenever the load seems to get heavy, what did the Lord say? He says that His yoke is what? His yoke is easy, and His burden is what? You know why? That's because the Holy Spirit takes care of the work of Jesus Christ. He takes care of it. Listen, and some of you, and Vicki alluded to this during praise and worship time, some of you are carrying burdens of guilt. Some of you are carrying burdens of your past. Some of you are carrying burdens of failure. Some of you are carrying, and you're yoked with lifestyles that you may have lived that you know that were shameful, and you were, and God wasn't pleased with them. But listen to this. The work of Jesus Christ, He comes in and He carries all of those burdens, and He doesn't have a problem in doing so. His shoulders are broad, His arms are strong, and He can take all of the burden of sin, unforgiveness. He can take all of the burdens of failures. He can take all the burdens of our life, of our insufficiencies, and He can carry them to the utmost. In fact, He carried them all the way up a rocky hill to a place called Golgotha, and He carried them to the top of that hill, and there He nailed them to a cross. Understand this, God has made a way for us to endure the deserts of life. And here's one of the last things. Typically, any camel that you meet, will have knees that are calloused, or perhaps even the hide of their knees, as tough as that hide is, that the hide of the camel's knees is worn through. And the reason why is every time that camel goes to lay down, and every time that camel has to get up, you know how it does? You know, for us, we just get ready to lay down. We just go flop over somewhere. We get up. We just jump up. Camel doesn't do it that way. The camel goes down on its knees to lay down. The camel gets up on its knees to stand to its feet. If we could capture that in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives as Christians, and I'm not saying that it should be restricted to the only time, but if we could get in, if we could develop the routine, not just a habit, but the routine that before we lay down, I'm going to hit my knees. Before I lay down every night, I'm going to hit my knees. And all the burden of the day, that every burden, all, it could be 2/3 of my body weight, all of the burden that I'm carrying, I'm going to let it rest on my knees before I lay down. And every morning before that camel rises back to that burden, every morning, that camel must come to its knees before it stands to its feet. If we could come to that place in our Christian life, in our Christian experience, if we can bring ourselves to that discipline, that before I lay down at night and before I rise to my feet and take on that burden one more time, another day, one more burden and one more day, if we could come to that place where I don't want to come to my knees before I come to my feet. And if we had some camel-like knees, where the hide is worn through, where the calluses are at, not calluses on our finger from playing a guitar or some other instrument, not calluses in your hand from maybe splitting wood with a rough axe handle, maybe not calluses on your hand from maybe pulling cloth through a sewing machine or whatever you may do. All of those that are worthy of a person that has worked hard or worked hard at something in life. But how many of us actually have calluses on our knees? And it's not just about posture, mind you. I can pray standing up. I can pray stretched out, laying down, or whatever the case may be. But spiritually, how many of us have calluses on our knees? The camel ends its day and begins its day on its knees. I think Paul understood, and I think Paul realized. And I think Paul is In some reading between the lines, if you would, when Paul says that he has made a way for us to endure. The way for us to endure is through prayer. The other instincts, the other camel-like instincts are good. And they're great to achieve in the spiritual realm, if you would. But if we can begin to end our day, Carrie, and start our day on our knees. And if we can have calluses on our knees, and if we're in the desert with our burdens heavy, our burdens light, whatever it is, whatever's going on in our life, whether it's a sandstorm or whatever, God has given us everything we need. But I think the one thing that's very important is we realize the camel comes to rest on its knees and it stands from rest, but first goes on its knees. Understanding what rest means. Rest simply means this. Rest means a word that we oftentimes use, but we really don't understand. Rest simply means Sabbath. We talk about the Sabbath. For some of y'all, today's the Sabbath. Quite frankly, in biblical terms, the Sabbath is Saturday. But what God is calling us to is to be at rest in Him. To be at rest in Him. When we're at rest in Him, no matter how dry the desert is, no matter how difficult the desert is, no matter how rough the sandstorm may be, or if it's a snowstorm in an Arctic desert, no matter what the conditions are, When we're at rest in God, rest, it's another word for peace, if you would, or having peace. You know, every single one of you in this room, how many of y'all went to bed last night? Five of you went to bed. The rest of you, I don't know what you stayed up and watched, but I'd like to know. It must have been awful good. Probably, every one of us in this room probably went to bed last night. Did any of you go to bed and not go to sleep? Good. No insomnia among us. We typically rest at night, unless your work disallows, you know. We rest at night and we go to rest. And as we go to rest, so I've read and so I've been told, we enter into different levels of sleep. I've never had a sleep apnea test. I've been around people that have. Any of y'all have sleep apnea? And y'all wear a mask. I don't know how people do it that wear them. They say once you get used to it, it's good. But you go into different levels of sleep. Pardon me for not knowing exactly, but my memory's not well at times. But I think it's either because I don't sleep much. No. It's either the third or fourth level of sleep that we go to, which is your deepest level of sleep. Do you know, so it said, that's as closest to death as any of us ever get and not die. I read that just recently. That's why it's important for us to get our rest. And I'm the pot calling the kettle black, okay? It's important for us to get our rest. And it's important for us to be able to enter into that deepest level of sleep. Is it third or fourth level? You're almost a doctor. So level three or level four of sleep. And at that time, your body, all the functions of your body, everything is slowed down to its absolute slowest point. But that's when most of the rest for your body and the rejuvenation of your body occurs. Did you know that? When you reach that place, listen to me very carefully, when you reach that place of ultimate rest. You know why many of us toil and struggle in our spiritual life? Because we never enter that place of deepest sleep spiritually. We never enter that place, that Sabbath, of the deepest place of rest in our Christian life. We're trying to do something. We're trying to make something. We're trying to create something. We're trying to deal with the desert ourselves, or we're trying to make ourselves better Christians, or we're trying to make ourselves more saved. And we're frustrated and frustrating ourselves, and we're fretting ourselves when all the time God is calling us to enter into His Sabbath, His rest. That deepest point of rest in Him. Listen, when we enter into that deepest point of rest with Him, we can rest. Listen, when you enter that deepest point of sleep at nighttime, I enter that deepest point of sleep at nighttime, then it's hard to get you awake. Sarah done entered it the other night. You know, by the time I was staying up working on some things, the time I went to bed, she had already hit that place in about 45 minutes. And I was trying to wake her up, and I said, "You remember me coming to bed?" "Well, I think so." "Yeah. You remember what I said?" "You said something about, you know." But when we enter into that Sabbath place in God, when we enter into that relationship with Him, that deep, intimate relationship, that camel type personality will rise up within us. And we'll go through stuff that we never thought we could endure. And we'll go through it with peace in our mind. And we'll go through it with peace in our heart. And we will come out victorious. We may look a little scruffy when we get done. We may smell a little dingy when it's all done with. Hopefully we're going to have calluses on our knees. But we keep looking up, and we never lose vision, and we realize that with God's help we can bear the load, and God's going to bring us through the desert places of our lives. I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. You may be here this morning, maybe you've been going through a desert period of life. Maybe you've been going through that time when everything is hard. Everything is hard. Everything is difficult. As you're going through that difficult time of your life, as you're going through that hard time, I want you to realize you're not alone if you know Jesus. And even with grace and mercy at hand, even that many times His grace and mercy is there with us, and we're so undeserving of it. We don't even give Him a thought. But understand me this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, trust God. Trust God. Look to Him. Look to Him. Let Him equip you for what you're going through, and you will endure. You will endure. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room. I want to ask you one question this morning. To begin with, And that's, are you in this room? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? Do you need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ? If that's you, without any embarrassment, I don't want to embarrass you, I'm going to call you out, but would you slip up your hand and you say, Pastor, pray for me? Anybody in this room? Thank you. Is there any others? Are there any others in this room? I need to be saved, or I need to rededicate my life to Christ. Is there one more? I want to ask you another question. Whether you're in this room, whether you're saint or sinner, whether you're on fire or whether you're backslidden, if you're going through a desert place in your life right now, if you're going through some dry spell in your life right now, if that's you, spiritually speaking, you're dry, it's a dry place for you, would you raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me? Thank you. Any others in this room? It's a dry spell, Pastor. The ground's hot. It's parched. It's dry. There's no life. If that's you, just slip up your hand real quickly. For those of you that raised your hand, I would just ask everybody, just go ahead and raise your head right now. Look at me. Look my way. If you raise your hand for any of that this morning, or if you're home and you're watching by Facebook Live or wherever you may be, if that's you, I want you to know God has something great and wonderful for you. He wants to bless you, and He wants to make sure. He's already promised. Paul said it. There's more, nothing more going to come on you than you're able to bear. And God's made a way that you will come through and you will endure. You'll endure. And we're going to say goodbye to the Facebook audience right now, because we're going to move into our altar service here. And I do that just simply because of courtesy, privacy for you guys here in the sanctuary.